are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Vic Carucci and Michael Regei with you on a Football Wednesday edition of CBD. Michael sitting in for Nathan Zagura today. Nathan will be back tomorrow, and then Michael comes back on Friday.
You follow so all that?
You almost had the whole week with me.
You've got that right.
For tomorrow, but it's been a fun week so far, and we're going to keep this rolling with our Ohio Business Machine's Hot Topics of the Day. We're going to get into some discussion continuing. Now, we are 10 days away from training camp, and yesterday we spent a lot of time talking about the quarterback position, sort of giving our preview and thoughts about the competition there. Today, we're going to talk about running backs, going to talk about Ben Tate, going to talk about Terrence West, going to talk about the whole crew, Deion Lewis and others competing, Edwin Baker for spots on the roster, how we see it shaking out, who's going to be the starter. And we want to hear from you on that one for sure, 216-578-0850. And it's Wednesday, which means it is Mailbag Wednesday. And when you tweet us at Browns_daily or you tweet me at Vic Carucci or Michael at Michael Regei, make sure you use the hashtag mailbag, and we'll get those questions for you answered. Weigh in on that and other topics. The running back topic, for one, I think is a big one to address today. From a guest standpoint, we got a very good one here for you as well, as we always do on the show. Nate Ulrich, who covers the Browns for the Akron Beacon Journal. He's going to join us at 2 p.m., a little less than an hour from now. And then at 2:30, you're going to hear from a prominent national voice, Steve Wyche, who works for NFL Network, NFL.com. One of my former colleagues at both of those affiliates is going to join us at 2:30. So we'll get Steve's thoughts from a national perspective on the Browns and all that's been going on in Cleveland, the whole LeBron James influence, and how the rest of the country has been looking at this team. And it's been looking at this team. It's been paying close attention to the Browns, to Cleveland sports. It's been, as everybody knows, just been such a fun time to be around here. We're going to dive into all of that as well. And again, hearing from you at 216-578-0850. Michael, how are you, my friend?
I'm great, Vic. How about you? You know, you said it's a Football Wednesday.
Yeah.
With a temperature hovering around 60 degrees today.
It's a fall.
It feels like it. You know, I looked out here on the practice field and said, well, the boys want to jump it up a little bit, given that we've got the temperatures to match.
Yeah, no, that's true. It's really been that kind of feel today. And with football in the air and it being so close, I saw Kyle Shanahan walking through here today. So slowly
Chris
but surely.
Tabor.
Yeah, Chris Tabor. So slowly but surely, these coaches are working their way back. And, you know, here's the deal. When these guys, it's been my experience through many years of being around this league, my experience that coaches, you can send them away. They feel at some point at the end of the off-season workouts, okay, want to unplug, get away with the family, just get away from all of this. Because once you're back, you're in it for, you know, 7 days a week for seemingly forever. But what also happens is after a few weeks of vacation, they're itching. They want to get back. They want to make something happen. They don't have players to coach per se now, but they have – tape that they're going to watch, video to watch. They're going to do their tweaking to the playbook and all that, and you could just feel that in the air too.
You're right, and you think about, we mentioned Kyle Shanahan, of course, an offensive coordinator, and Chris Tabor, a special teams coordinator. But Vic, I really like to just take a look, and you know, the faces tell a lot of stories. The position coaches and their quality control assistants, they are really, you mentioned looking at tape and going through everything, and not just with this football team, but their responsibilities as far as personnel with other football teams at the Browns. And these guys already are starting to look at not only the formulation of this football team, but then again down the road as you get into the preseason and the regular season. So it is a very interesting time, and while a lot of the coaches, as you said, don't have the players here yet, they're in game week mode already. They've got their game faces on because there is a lot of work to do for them.
You know, this time of year gives way to lists. People want to put together lists of
like the one we did on Tuesday, Wednesday.
Know, ranking of teams 3 years from now, or 2 years from now.
Yeah.
That sort of thing that ESPN did, which we had some fun with, but also challenged and had some, I thought, some very good explanation from John Clayton, of ESPN, who joined us, yesterday and gave us his thoughts on putting that list together, and on and he was part of the panel that did that. But other lists that are out there that caught my eye, Michael, one by NFL.com, and this had to do, Elliot Harrison, one of their staff writers there, broke down the top coaches. He ranks them 1 to 32.
Yep.
And there were two non-surprises to me. At the very top of the list, he had Bill Belichick.
Mm-hmm.
No argument there. Bill mm-hmm. Belichick, I think, as the best coach in the NFL. Who's going to argue the accomplishments? Who's going to argue the
longevity, yeah.
What he's consistently done right with a program there, and all that he has become with the New England Patriots. That he wasn't when he was coach of the Browns, but that was eons ago. That's a whole different Belichick, and I think everybody around here is kind of reconciled to that too, that the guy in New England is a different guy. What also didn't surprise me, but I thought I would have, and I know Elliot Harrison, and I want to give, excuse me, these guys more credit than this, but when they put together these lists,
mm-hmm.
put yourself out there a little bit, challenge it a little bit, and say, for instance, new coaches, one of course being Mike Pettine, the head mm-hmm. coach of the Browns, he's buried Mike Pettine and pretty much every first-year head coach mm-hmm. at the very bottom of his listing, which understandably, okay, they haven't been head coaches before, so on a list like this, the safe thing to do is to say they're at the bottom. Till they coach one NFL game as a head coach, they're at the bottom. Mm-hmm. But I think you want to know more about these guys and more about what you think they can do and the potential they have. And I'm not trying to make a case for Mike Pettine specifically to be ranked higher, but he also had Mike Zimmer down there, the first-year head coach of the Minnesota Vikings, former coordinator, defensive coordinator of the Bengals. I just say challenge that a little bit. And I just wonder, as we go through our Ohio Business Machine's hot topics, as those analysts and people ponder, what kinds of lists and questions go on this time of year? Should there be more regard for the coaching? What kind of shape is this team in specifically with its coaching staff? And I would venture to say that Mike Pettine, and I'll throw Mike Zimmer on that list among the first-year people taking over programs, probably merit higher ranking than just putting them at the back of the list and bottom of the list.
Understandable the way they do it, but I think what you're saying is maybe go out on a limb a little bit and say, okay, all right, so, and as a matter of fact, 28 through 32 on that list, so the bottom five are the five first-year head
first
coaches,
year guys.
Right? You got Mike Zimmer, Bill O'Brien,
right.
Jay Gruden, Mike Pettine, and Dennis Allen.
Yeah, all at the, and
with Dennis, the exception of Allen.
Yeah, because Dennis has been there.
Allen's been there. Okay, but
four of those bottom five are first-year guys.
First-year head coaches.
And
right above
Lovie Smith, of course, is a veteran coach in a new job, and
right.
You know, he gets ranked higher. But so there were coaching changes that didn't all involve first-year guys, but the predominant, I mean, for the most part, they did. And I say yes, go out on a limb, and I say these guys have some level of track record as coordinators.
They've all been coordinators.
And they've coached in the league. And I guess take it a step further. What kinds of ideas do you see them bringing? What kind of program do you see them running?
Yeah.
And no, they haven't done it before, but they've been hired to do it. So what are their chances of succeeding, also given the teams that they have?
And the ones right above them are the guys who've only been there 1 year, virtually. Gus Bradley, right? Doug Marrone. He's even got Jim Caldwell pretty low for a guy who's been an NFL head coach.
I don't agree with that one either, because I think Jim is going to make a difference in Detroit that Jim Schwartz didn't make, because he's what I think the Lions need. This offensive-minded and quarterback-driven guy. The guy who did well with Peyton Manning, who did well in Indianapolis, I don't think got enough credit for taking that team mm-hmm. on a run that almost mm-hmm. was a perfect season, and then they decided to play the backups because they, you know, for the sake of preservation for the playoffs, they didn't have a very deep team that year.
Right.
And they got to the Super Bowl and ended up losing
and
to
New
Orleans.
Yeah. I agree with you in the sense that I guess it would be fun if someone, and you say, I don't know Elliot Harrison. You say you do. I'm not familiar with Elliot. But just in general, I would say that, again, all right, if you're doing this, maybe even have a little fun with it. Project a couple of guys that you think, and I'm not suggesting you put them in your top five or even your top ten,
but
project maybe if you feel that a Mike Zimmer, because of what you've seen from him, a Mike Pettine, a Jay Gruden, of what you've seen from these guys. Now, they've all, as you said, been outstanding and earned their opportunities because as coordinators, as top lieutenants, they were terrific yeah. and had the backing of those head coaches they work for and their organization. So, yeah, project it a little bit. Take a couple of guys that you feel, all right, they've got a shot to come in, and because of it, because of the roster, because of the general manager they're working with, they've got a chance to succeed right away. Mm-hmm. I'll bet you, Vic, a couple of these guys have, and of course we hope it's Mike Pettine,
yeah.
but between Jay Gruden and Bill O'Brien and Mike Zimmer and Mike Pettine, all right? I'm gonna guarantee you that two of them, I'm gonna say two of them have over 500 or better football teams that contend for the playoffs.
I agree because it's the same sort of thinking that sadly goes into the weekly power rankings you see around
yeah.
the NFL and various media outlets, which essentially become they look like standings. They look through like a 1 through 32
yes.
based on record standing. And I say yeah. if a team is struggling at some point. But you believe in the talent, you believe in its ability to get better. Again, put yourself out there a little bit and let the rankings. I don't think you treat it the way you treat a college poll, mm-hmm. which is all record-based pretty much and power-based. I think you also got to put some intuition and some feeling behind this. I'm not saying that an 0-8 team or whatever is going to deserve to be anything other than probably at a lower point of the ranking, but certainly in the first quarter of a season, if a team hasn't gotten off to the strongest start and you can see a rebound –
yeah.
And you can. If you can't, you can't. But I think a lot of times these things aren't to chalk. This thing feels that way. This thing feels like all the years of experience that mm-hmm. you have, by the way, in a profession that doesn't allow you to get a lot of years of experience because it's not a very secure profession, coaching. But it just seems like you're guys with longevity get the upper end of the poll. The guys who have 0 years as head coaches, yeah, you just throw them at the bottom. Again, along with he does have Dennis Allen down there as
yes,
well.
He doesn't
think much of his chances, and that's an opinion. But I'm not so sure you're giving enough credit, and I'm not trying to just make this a Mike Pettine discussion, but that is part mm-hmm. of my thinking here.
Mm-hmm.
Do you honestly think he's got no chance then to be better than the second-to-last best team or coach team in the NFL? And I would argue that he's can be better
than
that. I think Zimmer in Minnesota
yep.
is probably going to do some better things as well.
And O'Brien in Texas.
And O'Brien with the Houston Texans.
The yeah. only reason – and I'm not – listen, I know that people are going to point to Cincinnati, but think about that now. You know, yeah, Jay Gruden on the offensive side and Mike Zimmer on the defensive side with the Bengals. Now, you – while I have all kinds of respect for Marvin Lewis, and you know Marvin is one of those veterans, and he's lasted a decade with mm-hmm. the Cincinnati Bengals. But Vic, can you honestly tell me? I think we know better. Jay Gruden and Mike Zimmer have had a tremendous amount to do with the Bengals becoming a playoff team three
oh, yeah.
years in a row.
Oh, for
Marvin
sure.
Lewis would be the first one to tell you that.
Yeah.
And I know people want to say, well, but look at what happened in the playoffs, Andy Dalton. Okay, but that Cincinnati offense has been pretty good, pretty substantial with Gruden
right.
as the OC. Same with the defense with Zimmer. And we know what Mike Pettine started to formulate with Rex Ryan as he was the DC with the New York Jets. And then look at last year. I mean, that defense went from a defense in Buffalo, Vic, that was, you know, absolutely one of the most atrocious in the NFL to a top 10 defense. Now, you mean to tell me Pettine's ability to coach and that imprint and the impact he had on that is not going to give him, you know, it's given him the opportunity, but it doesn't put him to the point of where you say, this guy knows what he's doing, on that side of the football.
You got to get some credit for that.
Yeah.
All right. We said we're going to talk about running backs today, and we're going to do that next. We're going to dive into that position and throughout the show address the competition at running back for the Cleveland Browns, 10 days away from the start of training camp here in Berea. We want to hear from you at 216-578-0850. We also want your tweets. And remember, today being a Mailbag Wednesday, the hashtag mailbag when you tweet us at Browns_daily or at VICCARUCCI or at MICHAELREGHI. He is Michael Regi sitting in for Nathan Zagura. Stick around. Much more is coming up on Cleveland Browns Daily. We are driven by Liberty Ford.